Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are with me today. We are in day two of our series called No Turning Back. Yesterday, we started with the call from Romans 13 that it's time to wake up. And if you remember, Paul said that, I love this verse of scripture, now it is high time to wake up out of sleep. It is high time to awake out of sleep. And come on, right there is where spiritual awakening begins. But once you wake up, you also need to know what time it is, right? Because have you ever woken up and you're not quite sure, if you ever had that pulse moment, where am I at? What is happening? What time is it? Or you wake up and you think it's morning and you look at the clock and you realize it's like, you know, only 12:30 that you haven't even been asleep that long, right? So once you wake up, you have to know what time it is, right? It's possible to be stirred awake, but not discerning. It is possible to look around and know something is happening, but still not understand what God is asking of you in this moment. So that's why I want to start today with this pretty simple question. What if you knew the news, but you do not know the times? What do I mean by that? Listen, you can know the headlines. You can know what is trending on social media. Like, we all know the memes. We all know what's trending. You can know what people are currently arguing about. You can know what is happening politically and culturally and economically and socially. You can even be up to date on everything happening in the world, but still not be clear on what God is saying to his people. Right? Often, what is happening in the world is the exact opposite of what God is calling his people to do. Right. So if all we know is what's happening in the world and around us and in culture and what's trending and what is social, oftentimes we will miss completely what God is calling his people to do in this hour. And listen, that is a problem, because believers are not called to just react to the news cycle, right? We are called to discern the times. And there's a difference there. Reaction is usually emotional. Discernment is spiritual. Reaction can be driven by fear and anger and pressure or anxiety. Discernment is shaped by the word of God, the spirit of God, and the mission of God. So that's why today I want to dive into this thought. Do you know what time it is? Do you know the hour in which you live? Do you know what God is saying and doing in the earth today? 1 Chronicles 12:32 is a scripture that really lays a foundation for this. And it says, one of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren at their command. Now, let's go over to Matthew 16, where Jesus says this. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Oh, Jesus just gave him all he had right there. Yeah, Jesus was not shy, right? Like, he would just bring it to the table. That's a strong response. Jesus said, you can read the weather, but you're missing the moment. And that's where I want us to lean in today. You can be informed and still not be discerning, you know. And I know we've we're in the Gospel of Mark and we pause for a second to do this, but you know, we were walking through the Gospel of, of, Mark, I just saw that whole imagery in a new way of when Jesus saved Levi, who would then be known as Matthew, but when he saved Levi, the tax collector, and he opened up his home, and other tax collectors and sinners are coming and they're having a party, and the religious of the day came and were saying, come on, what's going on here? Why aren't your disciples fasting? And Jesus was calling them out because he said, listen, you think you're spiritual, but you can't discern what is right in front of you. Like, the Messiah has literally shown up on the earth. The miracle worker, the Messiah, the Son of God is standing in front of you, and you fail to discern what is happening. And I believe much of the church falls into that trap. And that's what he's saying to these, again, religious leaders. You know how to observe things. You can look at the sky and tell what kind of weather was coming. You could look at natural signs. You could make predictions. They could pay attention to patterns. But here's the problem. The Messiah, just as he did with the salvation of Levi, the Messiah was standing right in front of them, and they missed it. Think about that. Jesus was healing the sick. Jesus was casting out demons. Jesus was preaching the kingdom. Jesus was calling sinners, fulfilling scripture right before their eyes, but yet they could not discern the time. They had information. They had religion. They had tradition. They even had scripture, but they were missing God. And come on, that is a warning for us today, because we live in a time where information is everywhere. You can pick up your phone and in 30 seconds know what happened on the other side of the world. You can listen to commentary all day long. You can scroll through every opinion known to man. You can read posts and watch videos and hear arguments and keep up with everything. But listen, being informed is not the same as being discerning. You can be informed and anxious. You can be informed and angry. You can be informed and confused. You can know what everyone is saying and still not know, God, what are you saying? So that's why we have to slow down enough to ask better questions. Not just, what happened today? But Lord, what do you want me to see? Not just what are people saying, but what does your word say? Not just what should I be mad about, but what should I be praying about? We focus so much on, how can I win the argument? But how about, how do I represent Jesus right now? And friends, that's discernment. Discernment is not just knowing what is going on. Discernment is understanding what matters in light of God's word. And I think one of the reasons that many believers feel so worn out is because they are constantly informed, but rarely spiritually anchored. They are taking in a lot of information, but they're not processing it through scripture and prayer. And when we do that, what happens? Everything feels urgent. Everything feels heavy. Everything feels like a crisis. Listen, I have five kids at home, there's rarely a minute where one of the five are not in crisis. Somebody took something, somebody threw something, somebody said something. And, I'm trying to especially teach the older ones, if there's a lot else going on and we're dealing with something, that'll be the moment that they come out and be like, hey, can I get a snack? And I'm just trying to teach them, read the room. My older son came out and, one of the younger ones threw something, somebody's head was bleeding. There's just a lot going on. And of course, my older son comes out and is like, hey, Dad, when are we going to go fishing? And then it's a fair question, but I was like, buddy, read the room. We've got blood. Now's not the time, right? Like to ask that question. And sometimes, you know, one of the signs of maturity, one of the signs of growth is when we can read the room. Because why? It helps us formulate and understand what do I need to respond to here? And what is God calling me to focus on here? Everything is crisis. When you just look at the world, look at social media, look at the economy, look at your bills, look at your health, look at everything. Everything is crisis. But when I can focus in on Jesus, right? When I can focus in and say, Father, a sign of maturity here is not everything is crisis. But when you are anchored in the word, you can look at the times, look at the chaos, look at everything else going on and not lose your peace. You can see darkness and not be ruled by fear. You can recognize, listen, there's a lot of confusion right now, but I'm not going to become confused myself. And that is what we need. Less awareness, sometimes to disconnect and know less. You know, I remember I was really young. I heard somebody preach, you're accountable for what you know, so know less. And that always stuck with me because, you know, scripturally, you know, if you know a brother or sister is hurting or that there's a situation going over there, scripturally, you have an obligation to at least at the very minimum pray for that person. But if it's in your means to help that person or to change the situation, there's an obligation for you to do that. What you know, biblically, there's an obligation as a believer to do whatever it is you can do. Right. So sometimes the better is instead of trying to be in everybody else's business or, you know what's going on in every sphere of life, sometimes the wisest thing is disconnect. Like, why? Because I'm on a short circuit if I know everything. Right. But sometimes when I can just pull back a little bit and disconnect a little bit and just say, you know, Lord, if you bring a situation, you know, to me and I'm aware of it, I'm going to be able to help. I'm going to be able to pray. I'm going to be able to do what I need to do. That's why sometimes we need less awareness, but deeper discernment. So the sons of Issachar understood the times. First Chronicles 12 gives us that short but powerful description of the sons of Issachar. They understood the times. And not just that, because again, to understand the times is one thing, but it says, then they knew what Israel ought to do. I love that combination. They understood the times and they knew what to do, because those two things have to go together. Some people see problems everywhere, but they don't know what to do with what they see. They see darkness, they see panic, they see compromise, and they complain. They see confusion and they become cynical. They notice real things, but they have no spiritual direction. Then there are other people who, you know, want to do something, but they do not understand the times. So they move too quickly. They fight the wrong battles. They waste energy on distractions. They confuse boldness with being harsh. They confuse urgency with impatience. They confuse faithfulness with being loud. But the sons of Issachar, power is they had both understanding and action, discernment and direction. And can I tell you, friends, you will never be as an effective believer as you will be when you get understanding and action, discernment and direction. They knew what time it was and they knew what Israel ought to do. This is what we need in this hour. We need believers who are awake, but not frantic, aware, but not fearful, bold, but not reckless, convicted, but don't act out in cruelty. We need people who can look at the times and say, Jesus is still Lord. The gospel still works. The word of God is still true. The Holy Spirit is still moving. The church has a mission, and I still have a part to play. Because when you understand times biblically, you do not lose hope. You know, it's just like, you know, we could talk about end times and, you know, the return of Christ, and you got people in one or two camps, people who instantly go into fear. And like, oh no, what's going to happen? It happened to this, it happened to that. And, you know, I have a friend who's like, you know, she's excited about the rapture, but she's like, who's going to feed my dogs? Like, and, you know, she said she really has to stand against those mental thoughts of trying to figure out what's going to happen with all of that and the anxiety. Right. And there's that camp. But then you have other people that come on when you talk about the return of Christ. It invigorates and motivates that. Come on, the gospel has to be preached. We've got work to do. Jesus is coming and the world is dying. There will be a moment where people, if they have not responded to the gospel, will have their eternity sealed forever. Right. So when you understand times biblically, you do not lose hope. You gain clarity. You realize darkness, it's not new. Pressure is not new. You realize deception is not new. You realize God has always had a people in different times. And you realize something else. You were not born in the wrong generation. You are here now on purpose. God knew exactly when you would live. He knew the times you would face. He knew the pressure your family would face. He knew the culture your children would grow up in. He knew the conversations you would have to navigate. He knew the calling he put on your life. So the question is not, why am I alive in these times? The question is, Lord, what does faithfulness look like right now? And that's the question, friends. What does faithfulness look like right now in my home church, in my home, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my workplace? What does obedience look like in this moment? And this is how people with discernment think. Now, when we talk about understanding the times, we have to be careful, right? Because some people immediately, again, they go to fear. They hear discern the times and they think we need to be worried all the time, right? Worried about politics and culture and future and worried about their kids. But biblical discernment does not lead us into fear. It leads us into faithfulness. Jesus told us to watch. He did not tell us to panic. Paul told us to wake up. He did not tell us to be terrified. Peter told believers to be sober-minded and watchful. He did not say become unstable and anxious. I'm preaching to anybody else in the room. Knowing the times, listen, should not make us weird. It should just simply make us wise. We should not become angry and critical all the time, but it should make us prayerful. It should not make us hide, but instead we should become that light of the world. Fear sometimes can pretend to be discernment. People think, well, I must be awake because I'm worried about everything. I'm aware. But fear, again, is not the same as discernment. Fear clouds your judgment. Fear is reactive. It makes you suspicious. It can make you harsh. It can make you pull back from the mission God has given you. Listen, if there's not an element of fear in walking into your calling and destiny, then I dare say that you're not really walking into the fullness of what God has for you. Because I've preached this for years, but God will never create a life for you that makes him unnecessary. Right? He calls us into mission beyond ourselves. He calls us beyond our limitation. He calls us to step out beyond what we're comfortable with. Why? Because if we only step to our comfort level, there's no reliance on him. I don't need God to do what I'm comfortable and I love to do and is exciting to me. I need God when he's calling me to step out of the boat onto the water and have full dependence on him. So fear, let me say it this way, the presence of fear is not indicative of being out of the will of God. Oftentimes, the reality of fear is a sign that you are smack dab in the center of the will of God. However, you still have to make the right decision that I'm not going to listen to that fear. I can understand that it's there. I can acknowledge this is difficult and this is scary, but I will not allow fear to pull me off course or pull me off of mission. I'll look at its presence and say, I'm probably in the will of God. Pastor Rod Parsley used to say it this way when he would preach that, when I hear the word or read the word in scripture, fear not, he would always think, why not? Because if God's saying fear not, it means that there's probably something in the natural to fear. There's an enemy, there's an encampment, there's a city, there are walls, there's a reality. And God steps in the middle of that and says, fear not, I have not given you a spirit of fear. But what has he done? He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And this is what we need, power to stand, love to reach people, a sound mind to think clearly. So when we look at the times, we do not look at people without hope. We look through the lens of scripture. Yes, the world is broken. Yes, there's pressure. Yes, there's darkness. But Jesus is still Lord. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. The church is still called to be salt and light in the earth. And the darker the night, the more clearly light can shine. That means these times are not just difficult. They are full of opportunity. Opportunity to pray, to preach, to serve. Opportunity to raise strong families, opportunities to stand for truth, opportunities to love people well, opportunities to live with no turning back. So listen, difficult times do not only reveal what is happening around us, they reveal what is happening inside of us. Pressure has a way of always exposing the heart. What do we know? When everything is easy, right? It's easy to assume that we're strong. When pressure is applied, we find out what we really are rooted in. Are we rooted in the word of God or in man's opinion? Are we set down in prayer or are we living reactionary? Are we rooted in Christ or has comfort become our God? Are we rooted in conviction or has convenience become our God? That is why challenging times can become refining times. And listen, so God doesn't use pressure to destroy his people. He uses it to refine us. Fire reveals what is gold and what is straw. The storm reveals what has foundation and what does not. Pressure reveals whether our faith is surface level or deeply rooted. That's why, listen, this series on No Turning Back is more than just a series title. It is a decision. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus and I am not going back. And when culture shifts and obedience is costly and when people misunderstand me, when faith is unpopular, when the pressure increases, no turning back. But that kind of faith has to be formed before the crisis. You don't wait until the storm hits to build a foundation, right? You build the foundation before the storm. You don't wait until temptation comes to decide what you believe about holiness. You settle it now. You do not wait until your children are under pressure to decide what kind of home you're going to build. You build it now. Don't wait until culture demands compromise to decide whether Jesus is Lord of your life. You settle that now. Knowing the times means making the decisions before pressure tries to make them for you. It means saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It means saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It means saying, I will seek first the kingdom of God. I will live ready because Jesus is coming. And that is not fear, friends. That is faithfulness. That is faithfulness. If we are going to understand the times, we cannot let the world disciple us more than Scripture does. And I think this is one of the biggest challenges right now, because many Christians are being discipled more by their phones than their Bibles, more by an algorithm than apostles. What a dangerous thing to have AI disciple us. I'm wanting to do a series at Hope City soon that just talking about cultural issues, but how Christians relate to AI it's not an enemy. It can be used for great things. But I hear people all the time saying, "Well, I asked AI, and here's what it said." And the other day, I was trying to work something, you know, for the ministry, business related, and I thought, "Well, let me go to AI real quick and put it in and see what it says." And it gave me good advice. It's not that it was bad advice, but instantly I felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and that scripture rose up in my spirit. Consult me, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your paths, right? AI is not God. AI is not our savior, right? You won't stand before God at that great judgment throne and say, "Well, you know, that's what AI told me to do." It won't work that way. And I'm not anti-technology. It has its place. It can be a great resource. I'm a terrible speller. So, yep, I'm running through important emails through there to make sure everything's spelled right. And, you know, it can give you great information, help you streamline things, but it is not God. It is not the Holy Spirit. It cannot do what only the Holy Spirit can do. So we have to be very careful that, especially in this season, we lean in to the Holy Spirit more than ever. Because if we're not, if we're more led by commentators than Christ, we will wonder why we're so anxious and divided and confused. If you want to understand the times, you need more than breaking news. You need an open Bible. Why? Because the Word of God teaches us what is true. The Word of God renews our minds. It exposes deception. It shows us who God is, who we are, what sin is, what salvation is, what the church is and the mission is, and where history is going. So without scripture, what will happen is we will misread the times. We will call evil good and good evil. We will mistake popularity for truth. We'll mistake emotion for conviction. We will mistake pressure for persecution, and we will mistake comfort for peace. Psalms 119 says, "God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path." A lamp does not always show you the whole road. Man, I wish it worked that way. But it gives you enough light for the next step. And sometimes that's what discernment looks like. I may not know every detail about what is coming, but I know the next step. I can stay faithful. I can pray, repent, open the word, forgive, tell the truth, love my neighbor, strengthen my family, stay faithful, do the next right thing. And this is how you walk through confusing times. Not by knowing every detail of the future, but by staying close to the God who does. Staying close to the shepherd is not about just studying events. It is about staying close to Jesus. Why? Because you can study the times endlessly and still miss his voice. The Pharisees proved that. They were religious. They knew scripture. They had tradition. They were serious about the system. But when Jesus stood in front of them, they tested him instead of receiving him. Come on, that's sobering. It means you can be religious and still be resistant. You can know Bible language and still miss what God's doing. You can defend tradition and still reject the heart of God. So discernment requires humility. Lord, search me, correct me, teach me, keep me from deception. Help me recognize what you are doing. And that is the prayer of a discerning believer. That's why Jesus said in John 10, He said that his sheep know his voice. They know his voice and they follow him. That means one of the most important things you can do in a confusing time is learning to recognize and obey his voice. Not every loud voice is God's voice. Not every urgent voice is God's voice. Not every popular voice is God's voice. So you need to know the voice of a shepherd. You learn his voice by praying. You learn his voice by obeying. You learn his voice by keeping your heart tender when he corrects you. The closer you stay to Jesus, the clearer your discernment becomes. See, again, as we close this whole thing out today, the sons of Issachar understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. Why? That matters because biblical discernment always moves towards obedience. If your discernment only makes you angry, something is off. If it only makes you complain, something is off. If it only makes you argue with people online, it's off. Discernment should lead you to prayer, to obedience. It should lead you to courage. It should lead to compassion, to action. So what should we do in these times? Well, we should wake up. We should pray. We should open the word. We should cast off the works of darkness. We should put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should strengthen our homes. We should teach our children truth. We should gather with believers. We should love our neighbors. We should serve the hurting. We should proclaim the gospel. We should refuse compromise. We should live ready. And we should not turn back. And friends, this is why Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel matter so much. Because listen, what we're doing here is not just making content, right? Just to make content. We are doing this because people need the word of God more now than ever. And you might say, yeah, there's so much information out there. Absolutely. There are so many voices out there. Absolutely. But not voices who are directing people to the truth, directing people to the word, keeping people's eyes fixed on Jesus. People need clarity. They need hope. They need to be strengthened in their faith. They need to hear the gospel. So what we do through the Pioneer Channel, we have an opportunity to carry biblical teaching into homes and phones and apps and screens all over the world. So I want to ask you today as we close this out, if this ministry has strengthened you and you believe in helping us call people to Jesus and equip believers for this hour, then I want to invite you to become a Pioneer Media partner. You can do that today by simply going to ptnnow.com and to begin partnering with us monthly or make a one-time gift. Your partnership helps keep broadcasting the gospel around the world. This kind of gospel-centered teaching through Good Morning Live, through the Pioneer Channel, and every other platform that opens. Together, we are helping people wake up, understand the times, follow Jesus with no turning back. So let's make this personal today. It is easy to talk about the times in a broad way, culture, the nation, the church, the world. But eventually the question has to come home. What is God asking you to do right now? Not someone else, you. What does faithfulness look like in your life? Maybe it's time to rebuild your prayer life or to get serious about scripture again. Maybe it's time to stop compromising with something the Holy Spirit has already put his finger on. Maybe it's time to have a hard conversation or to forgive or to step into a calling that you have delayed because of fear. Or maybe it's time to stop being silent about Jesus or time to step up and lead your family spiritually. Or to stop living distracted and start living intentionally. Listen, you don't need a platform to be faithful. You don't need everyone to understand you to be faithful. You just need to obey God in your assignment. The sons of Issachar knew what Israel ought to do. You need to know what God is asking you to do and then do it. Because understanding without obedience becomes another form of deception. James says to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So we do not just want to know the times, we want to obey God in the times. We want to be faithful in our generation. No turning back. So I love that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though I love the line that says, though none go with me, follow. No turning back. No turning back. So let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for calling us to be people who understand the times and know what to do. Lord, forgive us for being shaped more by the noise of the world than by the truth of Scripture. Forgive us for reacting in fear instead of responding in faith. Forgive us for being informed but not discerning. Would you give us wisdom and clarity and humility? Give us courage. Make us like the sons of Issachar. Help us understand the moment we are living in. Help us know what obedience looks like. Teach us to watch without worrying, to discern without becoming critical. Teach us to stand without losing our love. Teach us to live awake, anchored, and faithful. Father, I pray that you would strengthen our homes and our churches. That today you would strengthen parents and young people, strengthen every believer watching today. And for anyone who's never surrendered to Jesus, well, the most important thing you can discern is your Christ. Jesus died for your sins, he rose again, and he is Lord. And he's calling to you now to follow him. If that's you, just pray this from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. Forgive me. Make me new. I turn from sin. I surrender my life to you. Teach me to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, friends, thank you for being on with me today for Good Morning Live. We are in the series No Turning Back. So I love you. I appreciate the time that in watching and being a part of this ministry. If you want to become a Pioneer partner, simply go to ptnnow.com. I will see you back here on Monday morning. Don't forget, if you're in the Lancaster County area, we would love to see you this weekend at Hope City Church. We've got some big news we're sharing this weekend. It's going to be a wonderful time. But above it all, remember, God loves you. He's not with you. God's wonderful. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.